Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gigax, and that is the theme for the A-Team, because the A-Team is coming. If I have a problem and no one else can help, maybe we can hire the A-Team. Yeah, so it is of course not my hiring, but a letter to President Brian Renfro that has brought the A-Team to Las Vegas. So let me pick up where we left off from last time. Man, what a disaster it was at the last union meeting. But it appears that the forces that aligned against us are short-lived, and things may be turning back in the direction of law and order already, or the rule of bylaw and constitution anyway. So, briefly, my letter to Renfro was to ask for proper investigation of the Article 10 charges to get the process to move along and to force people to cooperate. And as near as we can piece together, I wrote that letter to Renfro, and then he had, I'm assuming some of this, I'm assuming most of this, he had one of his assistants call my branch and say, hey, there's some kind of issue with your election, it's being investigated, can you please send the charges to us so that we can, you know, have investigators come and look into it. And then the branch, knowing full well that they were going to be railroading Michael and me later that day or the following day or whenever the timing worked out, they only sent one set of charges. And that was our charges against the election chair. And all the other charges, they just sat on. Even though Renfro's letter was crystal clear that all the various charges and that multiple charges are involved here. The branch, I played dumb, are dumb, were being nefarious. Who can say? Who can say what the actual issue was? But the charges never made their way to the business agent. Only one set of charges did. And so one of the other sets of charges, Michael and I got railroaded on. And now the business agent, you know, figured out what happened, that, oh, they were supposed to send all of this stuff and they only sent one. So now the business agent for Region 1 has all the charges and has assigned investigators to come in and investigate the charges. And interestingly, the investigators, as according to emails we have with the business agent, are here to investigate the charges against the election chair, which that dude has been ducking since October, and it looks like he's finally going to have to answer those tough questions. It's about damn time. And the two sets of charges against our branch president, which have a lot of overlap because of the issues with the election that still have not been answered, even at the last meeting. He was very coy about any questions about the election and would not speak to, you know, how this stuff happened. I mean, because we know what happened, and you know, in his position, it makes sense not to want to talk about it because it's some pretty serious impropriety. So anyway, and so that's two more sets of charges, and then the fourth, they've taken over the charges against Michael and me, and I'm really curious about how that's going to work out because our charges have already been adjudicated by the branch. Granted, it was a total miscarriage of Article 10, and, you know, we got railroaded, but we did get found guilty by the branch, and so I don't know how much authority the business agent has to step in and be like, hey, these charges violate NALC policy, or these charges violate the law, and you can't move forward on them. I don't know. I guess we're going to find out, because as we hear it, it is Monday, February 10th as I record this. And as we hear it, the investigators are already in town and then we should be hearing from them soon. And I got to tell you, you know, when I got the call from Michael that he had talked to the business agent and yes, she's aware of what's going on and she's taking over all four sets of charges, it was like this huge weight was lifted off my back. I mean, you guys heard how upset, you know, not just angry, but also kind of defeated at the last podcast. And you know, it's been a big change since then. So the cavalry is coming and they are going to, you know, step in. And I'm very optimistic about restoring proper order to the branch and making sure that people are held accountable and that the bylaws and the Constitution are respected. So after all this happens, after the last podcast, the next day, or thank goodness, the next day was my SDO. So the day after that, I go back to my station and people are asking me, what happened? What happened? Some of them had already heard about how we got railroaded, and other people want to know what happened. And guys, I was really bummed out because the entire station signed that petition and it was just ignored. You know, people didn't care. And people who showed up to the meeting didn't care. I had, I think, 5 supporters from my station come to the meeting, which is pretty good, but it wasn't nearly enough. And when people at the station started hearing about what actually went down on the meeting or at the meeting from other people who were there, they got pissed. They got really upset about, you know, doesn't our voice mean anything? Aren't the carriers supposed to be in charge of this branch, not just one person? And yeah, of course. And so a lot of people at my station are saying that absolutely positively they are going to be at the next union meeting because it seems like it finally has sunk in that branch policy is decided by the people who show up to the meeting. And so you can be sure that for the next meeting, Michael and I and our supporters, the Branch 2502 Reform Caucus, we're going to do whatever we can to get as many people to the meeting as we can. And it brings up an interesting topic that I've been talking to Michael about and a few other people, my buddy Rich, who's been on the podcast, talking to people whose opinions I respect about the ethics of stacking the union hall, you know, and bringing in a bunch of supporters. Is that really ethical to do that? And I'm of two minds about it. You know, number one, I was on the ass end of it last month, and it's no fun when the people you're stacking with seem to not care about the facts or about the bylaws or whatever, and they're just gonna railroad, and that really sucks. And I wouldn't want to be a part of railroading someone else. And so you think about, this is something that can happen at any branch. Any branch can have a big group of people come in and just take over from the pews, essentially from the seats, and take over how that branch is being run, essentially like a coup almost. And so what stops that from happening? And the answer is, what stops that from happening is the Constitution. Just like in the United States, when, you know, what stops democracy from becoming mob rule? It's the Constitution. You can have 9 out of 10 people want to do something awful, but if the Constitution prevents it, then in theory, you know, rule of law and respect for the Constitution should stop that. And I think that's what broke down at the last union meeting. In fact, I know that's what broke down at the last union meeting. Because our branch officers absolutely ran roughshod over Article 10 and Article 11, and those are the two articles in the Constitution for subordinate and federal branches that put the power in the hands of the branch instead of resting it solely in the hands of the branch president. But when the branch president completely disrespects and disregards that Constitution, then you're left with what we wound up with last night. And so I think that's one of the differences. If we manage to get a bunch of people out, you know, there's no guarantee of who's going to show up. And I have no idea how many supporters, people who are still, you know, supporting the incumbent and are happy with what they're doing, which seems impossible to me, but obviously they exist because there were 44 of them at the last meeting, at least. So these people exist. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen at the next meeting. But I'll tell you this. If we were to get every single member of our union, you know, it's a hypothetical, it obviously can't happen, but all 1,500 members, if they were all to show up at that union hall on March 5th, I would be okay with that. I would say, okay, cool, now we're going to see what, you know, what the branch really thinks. And if it was just completely stacked, completely filled, dude, I really like our chances because I think most people are basically decent and most people want the bylaws followed. They want the Constitution followed. They want people to behave properly. And that's really what this movement's about. You know, our reform caucus, the reforms that we're trying to bring to the branch, that's really what it's about. You know, I had a carrier stop me at lunch today. I was just having my lunch and he pops up behind me and he goes, "Hey Alan, man, everybody at the station saying they're going to come out to the next union meeting and support you." And I said, "Cool, man, that's really nice, man. Thanks for letting me know that." And he goes, "No, dude, everybody at the station is going to come out and support you." And dude, I wanted to cry. You know, I hope that's true. Obviously not everybody, even if everybody comes out, not everybody's going to support me because we know we got the president's girlfriend at my station and she absolutely does not support me, but pretty much everybody else does. But it's not about me. Like if they're coming out just to support me, I appreciate that, but that's not really what we're trying to accomplish here. What we're trying to do is to enforce our own bylaws. I want people to come out to support the bylaws. I want people to come out and support the Constitution. The movement's not about me. It's not about Michael. It never has been. Like when the goodest oldest boy, the branch secretary, tried to cut a deal with me and say, "Hey, if you guys drop your charges against the election chair, then the election chair will drop his charges against you." We didn't take that deal. Because, oddly enough, we felt really comfortable defending ourselves against these charges, and then we just got found guilty of them in this kangaroo court, so maybe we should have been more concerned about it. But ultimately, we wanted what's best for the branch, and that is to have this stuff come out in the open. You know, and our only demand was that these people actually answer the questions that we're asking, these open, honest questions that any member of the branch has a right to know about. I mean, these ballots cost over $2,000. How did that get approved? How did we decide that we're going to do that? That's the branch's money. And of course, when I send an email asking, "Well, when was this approved?" I get no answer. And when I send an email asking for copies of the minutes from the last few meetings, get no answer to that one either. And, you know, I mean, the reality is the answer ain't there. We already know that this expenditure was never approved by the branch, but that's what we want, you know, the whole time is this accountability. We want to know the truth about what really happened, and we want people to be accountable for it. And, you know, that goes for getting back to the deal that the branch secretary tried to make. You know, he asked me, "Well, what is it that you want?" And my answer, I want the branch to abide by the bylaws. And it really is that simple. So if you want that too, if you think that our rules that we all agreed on and our Constitution actually mean something, then I urge you to come out to the meeting, to come out to the Branch 2502 next general meeting. It is March 5th at 7 p.m. at the Union Hall, 2620 Sunset Road, Las Vegas, Nevada, across from Sunset Park, behind McDonald's. Now, I know most of you listening are not in Las Vegas, and that's okay. Go to your own branch meetings for the same reason. Show up. See what's going on. Because there were people who came out to their first branch meeting last week and were shocked, rightly so, about what they saw and about the way our branch is being run. It's shocking. And it's not unique. You know, I had a conversation with David Grosskopf after this happened. I've had a number of conversations with him. I love that guy. David, I know you're listening. I cannot thank you enough for your support, for your guidance. And I'm so glad to have somebody like you to be able to talk to. And David was telling me that, you know, this kind of, for lack of a better term, I don't think this is the word David used, but for lack of a better term, corruption or the good old boys network, it is not unique to Branch 2502. It is systemic around the post, around the union. And you can even see it in the national offices where, you know, somebody like Mike Karaf will step up and try to question Renfro and try to get some accountability and get some answers. And it's not just Renfro shuts him down. It's the other executive officers who shut him down, because that kind of thing is just not welcome. And that's the problem, guys. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be the rule of law, where we're all subject to the Constitution, to the bylaws, and where the members of this branch are the ones who are in charge of it. So if you support that sort of thing, please go to your next union meeting. And if you're in Las Vegas, please, double please, come out March 5th, 7 p.m., 2620 Sunset, across from Sunset Park, behind McDonald's. And if you know anyone who lives in Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, Henderson, Boulder City, get in touch with them, please. Tell them to come out. Tell them to take part in their union. I really, whatever their own position is, whatever their personal beliefs are about the way the union should be run, it's time for the carriers to make their voice heard in this union. And this is how it starts. This is how the union is set up. The union is set up to accommodate what we're trying to accomplish here, to hold people accountable, to hold them to the bylaws. That's what Article 10 and Article 11 are all about. And it's time to make sure that that's finally respected. So that's it for today, guys. That is your update. I'm sorry to have left you hanging for as long as I did, but, you know, things are in the works, and I really couldn't give you an update until I actually had one. So we're working here, we're doing our best, and we will keep you guys apprised of how things go. So thanks for listening. I will catch you all next time.